Our next case this evening is case number 12,338. Charles Shirkle seeks variances from the front yard setback and side yard setback requirements for an existing structure. Sections 115.82 and 115.182 and 115.183 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northwest corner of DuPont Boulevard, that's Route 113, and Curlin Drive. The 911 address is not available. The zoning district is C1, commercial. And the tax parcel is District 133, Map 16, Parcel 95.03. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a 26.1 foot and an 11.0 foot variances from the 60 foot front yard setback requirements for an existing structure. Staff notes that the application form requests a variance from the side yard setback, but staff do not believe this is required, just the front yard only. Staff note that we received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
I guess just to be clear, the side yard variance isn't needed because it is 9.1 feet from the side yard setback, and because it's a commercial lot, it has a 5 foot side yard setback requirement.
Correct.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Yes, my name is Charles William Shirtle Jr., and my address is 27840 Crown Court, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And if you've got any exhibits, you can send them down to Mr. Whitehouse on the end. Is that, I guess you want to put up an easel, you can set it up over here, perhaps so the board can see that. And I think we have a copy of that survey, so, but it is helpful to have one up. If you're planning to testify, absolutely. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Thomas Nickerson, 27811 Sandy Drive, Millsboro, Delaware. I'm the manager of Handy Service.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here to seek a variance. I'll be as short as possible. This property is very unique, obviously, of the shape. I set out to purchase this property over 2 years ago and put a contract on it, and the gentleman who I was trying to purchase it from found it in his best interest to try to sell it to someone else for double the amount of money. So it held me up for 2 years, and I had to end up coming up with lawyer's fees of close to $20,000 and an extra $40,000 for the property. Getting past that, the uniqueness of the property, this parcel is unique in that it is irregularly shaped, extremely narrow in the area where the structure is located, which is currently the only area on the parcel to build a structure, and the vast majority of the property is wetlands and woodlands. The exceptional practical difficulty is due to these conditions existing at the property and were not created by ordinance, the applicant, or otherwise. Cannot otherwise be developed. The present physical characteristics of the property make it impossible and impractical to build a structure elsewhere, and a variance is necessary to create a reasonable use of the property that is zone C1 district commercial. A storage unit for housing equipment and other items to the applicant's business and operations. The vast majority of the property, again, is wetlands and woodlands. This is the only clearing. Not created by the applicant. Applicant was told by Sussex County Planning and Zoning personnel that he could build a storage unit without a variance. The applicant justifiably relied upon the representation and began construction until it was halted by the Sussex County Assessment Department. Thus, myself, the applicant, now brings the variance application after already laying a concrete foundation, erecting walls, and installing some roof trusses. Will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. This variance will not alter the character of the neighborhood. The nearest home is more than 100 feet away, or the district of C1. Additionally, the variance will not substantially or permanently impair or use the development of the adjacent property. This is a corner lot, nor be detrimental to the public welfare. Applicant has worked with HOA in the area and contributed to road improvements. minimum variance based on the attached survey and the existing concrete foundation. This variance request is the bare minimum variance to complete construction on the storage unit. This is the least modification possible in the regulation at issue. Property that I started constructing, the building that I started constructing, rather, is behind the billboard that is on the property and is leased to A&A Heating and Air Conditioning. I was originally told that the setback was far enough from the property line up here. And then, of course, the closest home is Mrs. Holland, Leslie Holland, which you can see is quite a bit back. And this is all wood, so it's not interfering with anyone or any homes that are in the rear. The property here is a coffee rotisserie company, and then the property right here is a local dentist. And then this is Route 113 starting out here. And this is all, but there's a private residence in the back, which was the gentleman who I purchased the property from. And I believe there's plenty enough room setback to where it doesn't interfere with Route 113.
There isn't a building permit in your packet.
No.
Why not?
Well, because I personally called planning and zoning to find out what was required, and I was misinformed. I was told that all I needed was proper setbacks for a storage building. He's my witness. I called on speakerphone, and that's the answer I got. I was on the phone for almost a half of an hour with the person, and they were going back and forth. I asked three separate times, are you sure that's all I needed? Because I didn't need anything like this after I'd been through almost 2 years and a lot of extra money and attorney fees.
Do you own other property in the state of Delaware or in Sussex County, Delaware?
I do.
Have you ever built anything before?
I've never. We are not a building company. I own Handy Services Incorporated. We are a maintenance and small home repair and moving company. I've never built anything in my entire
small
life.
Small home repair, wouldn't you get a building permit to do repair?
All we do is like deck staining and pressure washing. So if there's a one board that's broken or rotten, we replace it. We don't do any construction whatsoever. We're not a construction company.
So you did not get a building permit?
I did not, because I was not. I was told I didn't need one.
Yeah, okay.
I would never have started a project on Route 113 where 13 million cars go by without getting the proper...
Perhaps we could focus on the characteristics of the property itself. I think you had testified there's some wetlands on the property. Is
yes, there are some wetlands. There is a little bit right in here, and then the rest is wooded.
Now, those lines that are on the survey, are those indications of topographical changes in the property?
I imagine they are. I'm not familiar with any type of topographical maps.
Okay. Does it slope?
Yes.
You know, it's further
slopes
down.
This slopes down here. Yes, it's a little bit higher in here, but it does slope down. Yes.
So is that a limitation on why that building is pushed to the front of the property rather than towards the rear and the center?
Exactly. Exactly. This is high and dry land right here, and this is where, you know, the building needed to be put.
You couldn't have cleared out some trees and put it...
Well, from what I understand, after the fact, when I talked to Bob Palmer, who was the civil engineer who I've hired, he told me that was one of the things that they don't like to see, is to take trees out. So that's, of course, after the fact.
Who is that?
Want me to help him?
They
Palmer.
Who?
Oh, environmental. Environmental is what he told me. Whoever the environmental people are. It's all Greek to me because this is my first time ever erecting anything in my entire life. So the homes that I've owned in the past were all purchased, built.
Yes. Do you want me to help you a little bit?
Sir, can you just wait a minute? You've not been sworn in.
Do you know how about how much that is of that is actual wetlands, that property?
I'm assuming probably half, one third to half. I'm assuming this area right here. It's an approximate
description.
So is that it? And that green, that shaded in green is wetland?
That's the floodplain. That's the floodplain. We don't actually have the wetlands for non-title delineated.
Mm-hmm. So this building's been started?
Correct.
You're indicating that you were told that the setbacks
is what I needed for a storage facility.
What they needed and that you didn't need a permit.
That is correct.
Are you building the building yourself or?
No, I actually hired carpenters off of Craigslist and a mason to do the work. I had some of my men perform some of the labor, but I actually hired, you know, men to do it.
Were they local contract. People?
I'm sorry, local?
Local carpenters?
Yes, they were, yes.
They didn't say anything about a permit, too?
Well, I told them exactly what I was told from planning and zoning.
So, planning and zoning said that you had to be within certain setbacks.
That is
so
correct.
So why are you here tonight? Because you built it within the setbacks.
Well, from what I was described, I was in the setbacks.
So what were you told?
I was told
that I had a setback from here of 65 feet.
Sir, you need to somehow turn to us so we can see and hear you.
Okay. I was told that the setback from this point here was 65 feet, and the rest of the setbacks are in line. There's only one setback that I one. Variance I need for a setback, and that's the front.
Okay. So why did you put it there knowing that you need to be 65 feet?
From this measurement here, I'm well within reach of 65 feet.
Who laid the building out?
The mason and myself and my manager, Tom, behind me.
Who was the mason?
His name is John Welsh.
And he's a Sussex County mason?
Yes, he is.
And he's not here with you tonight?
No, he is not.
Do you know where, what his address is?
I don't have his address. We have his phone number. We've tried contacting him, but he won't contact us back.
And what builder did you?
It wasn't a builder, it was a carpenter. I actually went through two carpenters. And we got stopped after, I guess, when we
were. What was their name?
The carpenter's name was, what's Joe's last name?
Joe Fulmer.
Joe Fulmer. And the other one was, his name was, I think it was Scott. I'm trying to think of his last name. I didn't hire him for very long. He didn't do much of the construction. He was helping me lay out where the pins go on it, but he even got that wrong. So, and he was supposed to be an experienced carpenter.
You're messed up all the way around, weren't you?
Excuse me, sir?
Got messed up all the way around.
Yeah, it seems that way. Like I said, it's been, like I said, even trying to purchase the property, it took me 2 years, so.
I may.
Yes.
Is it your position that even if you had gotten the permit before, that there's no other location where you could have built this on the property?
That is correct.
And that's due to the wetlands area in the back?
Yes, and this is the best spot and the highest, driest spot to put the building.
Do you get water and standing water back there, those areas?
Standing water in here, correct.
Okay, and I presume the trees that are there, if they were removed, might exacerbate some of that flooding?
It's a very good possibility. They are very large, mature trees, like this big around, 150, 200 feet tall.
And where the structure is now, does that pose any visibility issues from 113?
No, because it's hidden by the billboard.
And how far away from it is it? Because it looks like your survey, there appears to be a gap between your property line and where it would be. How far is that? Do you know?
From which to where?
From your front property line to the edge of paving of the road. How far is that?
Oh, probably another. This is 113 out here, runs here. So probably at least 100 feet. And then another 65 back. So it's probably about 160 feet from the actual road of 113.
Where is your entrance?
The entrance is on Curlin Drive, which leads right out to 113 here. There are several entrances, actually, that will allow you to go to either Evergreen Terrace or Curlin Drive. But the main paved entrance is right here.
To Curlin Drive, but to the your property, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's right here. Here's Curlin
Drive. That's approved by DelDOT?
Yes. From what I understand, yes.
So do you have an entrance permit?
No, I do not, because I was told the entrance is from here. This is what I've been getting from the civil engineer.
Who's your civil engineer?
Bob Palmer.
If I can add, you just started working with Mr. Palmer in the last couple of months to work on a site plan for the placement
correct.
Of the building to get all your agency approvals.
That is correct.
So if approved, you can get your permit and all your agency approvals.
That is correct.
So you put the cart before the horse?
Not in my eyes. Because like I said, I thought I did my due justice to call and find out.
Do you know who you talked to from the county?
I do, but I really don't want to step on toes here tonight. That's not what I'm here for. But I've been told the person's name.
We can verify he did speak to a person in the planning and zoning office. He was on hold for the majority of the time, and he has admitted, and that person has admitted, that the only information given was setback information, which was 65 and 15, which are the setbacks that were mentioned.
Did he say he was going to build then?
He just asked for setbacks for building.
For a building.
For a building. So, and again, the planning office does not issue building permits.
Yeah.
So we provide setback information and process information. So he was provided the correct setbacks when he called 6 months ago.
He didn't go through the right channel. That's what that is. So.
Is there any other questions from the members of the board?
I'm tired here, so you got to bear with me a little bit. You called and got the setbacks, and then you're still here, and you still build it, and you need a variance from the setbacks? Is that what I'm reading here?
Well,
been up since 3:30.
After,
bear with me.
No problem. I've been up since 5 myself. So, when I actually purchased the property after going through a lot of court and rigmarole, then I called planning and zoning to find out what I would need to put up a storage building. And I was told, I asked them 3 times to make sure, because I didn't want any more problems after all I've been through. And obviously I had to pay a lot more for the property. So I was doing my due diligence to find out what I would need. And the woman on the phone went back on the phone several times, like exactly 3. And I asked her 3 times, are you sure that's all I need? And that's what I was told. And I didn't question it because it's just a storage building. She told me it's C1, you own it, right? I said, yes, I own the land outright. And all you need is a setback. So I was given the setbacks and that's what I used.
So you need a front yard setback of 60 feet and 2 side yard setbacks of 5 feet.
So actually what he needs are 2 front yard setbacks. The building actually complies with the side yard because the side yard is 5. The building is 9.1, so that is perfectly fine. It also complies with the corner front on Curlin because it is more than 15 feet. What he needs is a 26.1 and 11 foot variance from the front yard setback.
And that's due likely to the angle
of the property.
But he doesn't have an entrance.
That will have to be obtained as part of the site plan process to also make it. There are a number of agencies that he will have to get approvals from for the construction of the building if this is so approved.
And doesn't the billboard have to be so many feet from a building?
Billboard is existing, so it's an older billboard and conforms to either variances or is non-conforming. So the billboard is not as part of this application. This is just for the front yard for the building that is currently under construction.
Yeah, I think to be clear, you know, trying, you know, not to muddy the waters too much, but the issue before us really is this property unique, and do that uniqueness, has that created an exceptional practical difficulty for the applicant that makes it impossible for him to comply strictly with the code, and then if the variance would alter the character of the neighborhood, and is it the minimum variance? We really need to look at that perhaps more than why it's already
without
there.
Facts about the wetlands document, facts from an expert, that he could have put this down farther.
One thing that we do have, Madam Chair, Ms. Chair, if you do look at that survey, there is a topographical part of that. And I know it's kind of difficult to read, but when you do look at that, there appears to be a difference in slope with that property, and that is shown on that survey. Now, whether or not they're wetlands or not, I don't know, but we have had the applicant testify that there's standing water on that site. We have a wetlands delineation study in the record that I can see, but we at least have that topographical part of the survey.
And there is a 9-foot difference from the lowest grade at 14 feet to the highest, which is 23.
Right. There's a big drop off here that goes very deep and it becomes all wetlands in there. So this is the only spot on the property that a building can really be constructed on.
So can you make the part of the building smaller? Can you make the building smaller now?
No, because the concrete is in.
But you could leave a pad there, just make the structure smaller.
Construction's up already.
Yeah, you have to tear it down. You already got the framing on it, right?
You got a building permit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to answer my question?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. To assist, Chair, I think a building permit has now been applied. I know that Mr. Shirtle has been in discussion about a commercial permit.
I
know exactly where he is, but I know that those discussions have started because they began in April.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So if you moved it back, straight back to the 23-foot line, you'd have maybe 10 feet to push it back. Would the building still need a variance? Because it's still encroaching into the front yard setback?
It would, yes.
Because that's the closest before it starts. You can, when the lines are closer together, that you have a little bit of steeper drop off. When they're farther apart, it's a little less, it's not as steep. So about 10 feet back from where the building is placed, it starts to drop off a little bit.
So it's zone C1. Is it part of this subdivision?
I'm confused.
Is that
this is
Ms. Holland, your neighbor? Is it part of a subdivision?
No, it is not.
Okay.
This is the property line right here.
But it's not part of a subdivision at all.
Not at this time, no.
Okay. And so then once he, whatever happens with the building, then he'll have to get a site plan approval for parking spaces and entrances and all
he'll
that
have to
stuff.
Get approval from Fire Marshal, Conservation District, DLDOT. It'll have to go through zoning review to make sure it complies with the parking spaces, all of the zoning requirements, and then he'll also have to have construction drawings approved, architectural sign and seal approved by the submitted to the building code department to comply with building code.
How long do you think that'll take?
The agencies, depending on what degree of approvals are needed, could take a couple of months. I know he is working with his engineer, and I know they are working with those agencies. Once that's reviewed and approved, it'll go through the planning office, which I think we're about a two-week plan review, depending on how many come in. And then it'll go over to building code, and we can run site plan and building code concurrently so the construction drawings can get into the queue for building code so they can get that. So a couple of months at worst case scenario.
Is it out of the question to leave the record open for him to get his other agency approvals?
But
I guess really what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that
criteria
that necessarily,
for a variance.
Yeah, I don't know that's germane to it. I mean, it's those agency approvals they're separate and apart from what this board has to look at. And if you were to leave that open, you know, it's really, as Ms. Cornwell said, it's sometimes difficult to determine how long that would be. And it very well could, at least at some level, might hold up some of the approval processes on some of those other agencies. I know the commission, for example, would need, before they could issue any approvals, would have to make sure there's approvals here. So you would have to be limited on the scope of that. And if you feel you have enough of evidence before you as to whether this property is unique and meets the other standards, then I think perhaps a vote on that would be appropriate.
If it is not approved, then I guess you'll start over?
I don't know at this point.
All right. Is that the end of your presentation?
Yes, it is.
All righty. Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Would you please come forward and get sworn in?
Sure.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address?
Stephen Ross, and I live on Kirtland Drive. I've lived there since 03.
Okay. And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
but
the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
My house is probably right about here, on like the second house up. This is my house here. All of this is, I call it, this is a drop off here, probably. Here's the brown area you see, and the drop off would be probably 6 to 8 feet. This is all, like, I'll call it swamp or a marsh. And this is all drop off. These trees here that you see here are probably, yeah, big around and 80, 100 feet tall. So if you had to take down these trees here, it'd probably cost them like thousands of dollars. These are like little trees here. Smaller trees, maybe 30 feet high. This is Evergreen Lane back here. This is all a marsh. And Betts Pond is over here. If you can see the start of Betts Pond over here. And this is all marsh and marshy area here. From here, this is the lady that lives next to me's drive. And here's a drop off, and it's probably goes down maybe 15, 20 feet. And then in here, in this area, is like swampy, or I guess you guys call it marshland, as well as same thing on this up the other side of this Evergreen Lane. The houses back here, there's 7 houses. This is a gravel lane. It's probably macadam to right here. And his, where he's trying to put his building is right here. It's sort of shaped like this, and this is the drop off. Like I said, probably 7, 8 feet. So he would, if he tried to push this back this way, he would have to cut down a bunch of trees and probably put in 8, 10 feet of fill. This road is probably, it goes down like this, and it is from here to Curlin Drive is probably about a 30 or 40 foot drop. So that's my 2 cents.
Can I just clarify, because you were describing the map a lot, would it be fair to say that what you were speaking of is the area that the trees are wetlands, and that's where it drops
it's
off?
It's either wetlands or it drops off into the slough or marsh, whatever you guys.
So the tree area is wet and wooded, and the trees are probably about 3 to 4 feet in diameter?
They're like,
because you said they were
probably
really
been
large.
There for 100 years or
okay.
So. Yeah.
And then the much. Area going towards the north towards Bet Pond is also kind of drops off and is wet as well?
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to clarify to help the minutes.
Right.
Did you want to speak, sir? No? Is there anyone here in opposition of the application? I will now close the public hearing. And I will entertain the motion. Mr. Sharp, not hearing a motion, what is our
If the board is not ready to vote, I would encourage a motion to table so the board can have proper time to deliberate and bring this back on the 5th.
Make a motion to table case number 12,338 for next meeting.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Corman?
Aye.
And I too. So the vote 5-0, we will table it to our August 5th meeting.
And as we noted earlier, Mr. Sherrill, you do not need to be here for that. You certainly can be here if you wish. It will be available on the internet where you can listen to the audio the next day. We don't hear any new testimony or evidence at that in between now and then or at that hearing. So you're certainly welcome to be here to listen to it if you wish.
Okay.
I believe we have that. That's the one that we've already gotten the record. So I think Gary will take that with you. Thank you.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Oh, wait a minute.
Additional business.
Sorry. To discuss the meeting times, if you are so inclined to consider beginning the meetings earlier than 7 o'clock, that might help us get out earlier. It definitely would help staff out, as it is a long time between 4:30 and 7 o'clock when we begin a meeting. So it will also be more similar to the other meetings that begin closer to 6. So if you do have a time that you would be interested in considering, we could begin that in September, correct, Anne?
What's the pleasure of the board?
For me, it doesn't suit me. I work all day too. And, you know, getting off it earlier, I can get off early. This doesn't suit me for that time. That's why we kept it like it was. And I still think it's a good thing for the people and the public at 7 o'clock. That's my opinion, but if the board want to change it, it's up to them. But mine is either like it is or the public. I mean, we work all day too. I mean, you're at 3:30 in the morning. You're still here. Except at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm just going to put out that we've also had a number of people who have to drive several hours to get here. So then, like tonight, it's a long meeting, then they have to drive several hours back. So, you know, we've had that concern expressed to the planning office.
By who?
By the members of the public, the applicants who'll show up, or, you know, even the people in support or in opposition to an application. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts later, they're driving several hours to get here, and then like tonight they would end up having to drive several hours to get home as well. Is there consideration for even maybe 6:30?
I mean, as far as myself, and it's only my second meeting, so I would defer to you all on that end down there. But I mean, I'm fine with 6. It's whatever you guys want to do. It's just going to be an hour less flying or work for me, but it would be nice in the winter, I'm sure. But it's just selfish reasons. So whatever you all decide.
I have flexibility on start time, but if it creates a hardship, then I wouldn't be in favor of changing.
That's how I feel.
So does 6:30 even out of the question for consideration? Because I know, you know, 6 sounds like it's too early, but we can just try even maybe a half hour. Or is that just, I'm just asking.
And when would that start?
September. Because we've already advertised for August.
Mr. Workman, does that create a problem for you, 6:30?
It's according to what it is. I mean, if it can't, you know, I'll get late here, I'll be late. That's all that's going to be. If I can't make it then, I'll be late. There's no problem there. If they want to make it that way, it's fine. But we on the board has changed a lot now for who used to be on this board. And who used to be on this board was a lot of farmers and stuff like that, and they work late. You got to get up early to get there too. So, but to look at the public, I didn't see that much. Some cases we had, yes, since I've been on this case, on this board, before they got on here too. Mm-hmm. We had cases real long, and I understand that. But we had a lot of opposition and for. And we were tarred too. You guys are tarred right now. But that's part of that, I think. You know, you don't have that all the time. So.
At last meeting, we were out here at, what, 8:30, quarter nine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think typically, and Mr. Workman can speak to this probably the best, but you know, generally speaking, on an average meeting, if on an average meeting with average number of applicants, the average number of people for and against, it's about 2 hours.
Yes.
We've had some that are shorter. We've had some that are longer. We've had some that are a lot longer.
Yes.
But that's the general average. So.
And I think with this board, what I've seen so far, our meetings are going faster.
Well, that's because of the high chair.
Yes. But I think it's going faster, our meetings are.
He must be tired to have said that.
We have meetings before, discussions. I mean, our discussions are right to the point, I think, more now. And I think we're getting that faster because we're going to the point of it, instead of dragging it out so much, you know. But, I understand staff too, but everybody else works all day long too. I'll work all day long, start in the morning,
no,
all night long.
I understand that, but we've got overtime, we've got staff. This is like, we also have 4 night meetings a month, and I'm also concerned about the public because we've had a number of people from the public who, you know, sometimes it takes them, you know,
concerned about the public
to time to get home as well.
A lot of people can't get off that time to get here, or got to take off work to get here too. By giving it 7, you're giving that time for somebody to get here. That's where I'm from. But if the board want to change that time, I can make it work. If I got to, you know, that's what I want to do.
So how about we, starting in September, try the 6:30 for 6 months?
Okay.
And if it works well and everybody's okay, then we will revisit it at the 6 month interval and make it permanent time. Is that agreeable to everyone?
Fine,
good compromise.
Hmm?
Do we need a motion?
I don't think so. If you wanted to have one just to have it, you can do that.
Advertising notice.
No, that's fine. So the time now for the County Board of Adjustment
beginning in September
will be at 6:30 for a trial period of 6 months to make sure it works out well, and that's what we really want to do.
I think Jeff hit on it just a while ago. Wintertime, no problem.
Yeah.
Summertime is the problem.
Can we vary it? Or, is it just got to be, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm still doing cover crop, and I'm still flying and going wide open.
Yeah.
And September and even October. You know, I get done when it gets dark.
So why don't we try it for the 6 months, and then when it starts getting lighter again, we can maybe come back and revisit the timing and see what it looks like?
In my world, not that it has anything to do with me, because it doesn't. I'd say October, let's make it 6.
Yes.
And then get summer again. If we decide to go back to 7, then we go back to 7. But that's up to you all. I
agree with you, Jeff. In October, that's when things changes.
You could follow the daylight savings calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. So begin at 6:30 in October for 6 months.
Yeah.
Is that agreeable?
Yeah, or 6. That's up to you all. That's up 6:30.
October, at least 6 be fine with me then.
Okay, so in October we'll start with 6 p.m. and
so fickle.
See how it goes.
It's like you're buying a car.
How about?
So begin.
Going on.
Well, so my understanding
make up
is
your mind. Speak.
We've got consensus.
It's on my mind, yes, but with how Jeff came up with it, and we compromised. In the wintertime, who's farming it? You ain't planting ground and all that stuff. Not spraying.
All right.
Yeah. So that's a good time then, but in the summertime,
We'll revisit in 6 months to see how it's working, and we can change it in 6 months after October, from October.
How does that affect your advertising and all that?
We're good right now for advertising.
Yeah,
we'll just have to.
It's not like it's every Monday. It's only one day, two nights a month.
What we do have, and I'd recommend that rather than putting on for 6 months to be revisited,
we'll revisit it in like six months from now.
That way, there's time for staff if the board decided we wanted to move that, adjust it one way or another, or keep it. Staff would know to be able to advertise after the 6 months for that. Because if we said, hey, in April we'll look at this, we would have had advertisement.
We can look at it and we can put it on late February, early March, because then we'll have time to get agendas.
Get your notice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So October meeting, that's what we're talking about.
First meeting in October, sounds like we're starting at 6 p.m.
I'll show up here at 7.
We'll send you out a reminder.
Are you all right with that, Brian?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yes, that's a good idea.
6 o'clock in October.
Yes. That's a good idea. Then, I mean, everything, but you're running down. Everybody else is winding down.
You got pumpkins.
Well, we still be harvesting corn and everything.
Oh, yeah. But
there's all right. So that's what we're doing. Starting in October, our meetings will be at 6 o'clock. Anything else?
Chill.
There's a bunch of ladies.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Second.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.